You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Hello, James. How are you?
I'm extremely well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm going well, thank you. So you've just gotten back from COP23. I'm sure that was quite exciting. How are you feeling?
Really good. I think it was a terrific event overall, but particularly for us with our new government and our greatly increased ambition around climate change, just the number of kind of contacts and relationships that we're able to build up as a result of going to the conference is really useful in terms of the work program that we've got.
And just to give some context, can you tell us about what the conference is and sort of what happens there?
Yeah, so most people will have heard of the Paris Agreement, of course, which is the big global agreement on climate change that was signed off on 2 years ago. That happened at COP21, and so this one is COP23, so it's the annual meeting of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, at which every country rocks up and negotiates essentially the next stage. So this meeting was located in Bonn in Germany, and the purpose of this particular meeting was to try and develop a set of rules for implementing the Paris Agreement. So when the Paris Agreement was signed off, it said that there shall be a lot of different mechanisms and kind of ways of doing things, but it didn't specify what those are. And so this meeting was, part of that process of developing those rules.
And so one of the things that you personally want to see implemented in New Zealand is to have less sort of jobs surrounding fossil fuels and incorporating a just transition plan to get people out of fossil fuel jobs and into more sustainable jobs. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And that, of course, is common to a lot of different countries. And it was interesting, one of the really big things that happened in Bonn, which no one was really anticipating being as quite a big deal as it turned out to be, was what they called the Powering Past Coal Initiative, which had about 20 countries, including New Zealand, also a number of states and cities and others signing up to, saying that actually we're looking at a transition away from the coal industry and from coal-fired power. And so a big part of that is to say, well, okay, if we're going to do that, then how do you manage that transition in a way that ensures that people do, keep their livelihoods and move into other forms of employment where they're using their skills that they've got at the moment, and also that they earn at least as much money in the future as they are now.
Do you think dairy is one of these industries?
Well, obviously, it's not, and I don't, let's not just talk about dairy, right? But when we talk about the agricultural sector, that is a large part of New Zealand's emissions, but also of a number of other countries as well. And one of the big breakthroughs at the conference was actually, it's been a point of contention, of course, for a number of countries, and we finally got past that at this conference, where we are now able to set up a work program between countries to say, well, how are we going to handle agricultural emissions in the future?
And how are we going to do that in New Zealand?
Well, this is something that we've got to work our way through, and it is on the program of this government is to kind of advance that work that has been started a few years ago, not just with the technological and scientific research into trying to reduce emissions from livestock, but also some of the kind of business model work. So are we, to what extent are we managing our actual industry in such a way that is the most efficient that it possibly can? Now, New Zealand's really advanced on that work in terms of, if you compare us to a lot of the rest of the world. But even here in New Zealand, we're starting to discover in the last couple of years that even we, who have got a very advanced agricultural sector, may have different ways of doing things that could increase farm profitability, but at the same time reduce our emissions.
And so another thing that's come out of the COP23 is a greater recognition of Indigenous leadership in the climate discussion. What do you think this means for Māori and New Zealand being included in chats about climate change?
Well, what's really interesting, I mean, we had for the first time a delegation of Indigenous youth at this event, And I think that's kind of coming out of the work that was done a couple of years ago with recognition of the role and the impact that climate change has on Indigenous peoples around the world. But also Māori are looked at as leaders amongst Indigenous communities around the world because of the kind of work that's gone on here in New Zealand under Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And so a lot of people are calling on them for advice and support, which I think is great to be able to do that. And, you know, here in New Zealand, you've got the iwi leaders group have invested a significant amount in climate change. And it is one of their, I think, five big priorities is to continue that work.
Do you think iwi and Māori New Zealanders are adequately involved in the conversation at the moment?
Well, they certainly are involved, and they're certainly very aware of it. I mean, it's often been iwi groups who have been at the forefront of trying to resist further deep-sea drilling, for example. You know, that's been heavily led by, you know, groups in Taranaki and in the Bay of Plenty. And I know that when the previous national government changed the settings of the emissions trading scheme to make it less effective, that had a massive negative impact on the Māori economy because it wiped a significant amount of value off forestry, which iwi obviously have a pretty substantial ownership stake in.
And so at the COP meeting in Germany, there were also protests, particularly fighting against the United States' openness to fossil fuels and climate change denial. Do you agree with these protests?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the position that was taken by the US when it came to, trying to advance this notion around clean coal, which is a complete fantasy, really, was kind of absurd and a bit ridiculous to try and attempt to do that within the context of a United Nations climate change conference.
So would you say you're disappointed in the United States sort of involvement in COP?
Well, I mean, it was quite interesting what happened with the United States. On the one hand, yeah, it's really disappointing that the Trump administration has signaled that they may withdraw from Paris. And we've expressed that to them. But at the same time, the U.S. delegation continued to stay engaged. They continued to try and ensure that they were putting forward kind of good ideas around that kind of rule book for how the Paris Agreement will work, even if the sort of signal that they may not be a part of it. And at the same time, there was, of course, a rival delegation from the United States that included the governors of a number of states, like Jerry Brown from California, a number of cities and major companies who were saying, actually, we're still in. And it's kind of fascinating that you would actually have rival delegations from the same country participating in an event like this.
Just finally, while I was organizing this interview, I originally wanted to talk about Manus Island with you, and so I was told that I could not talk about that with you, and so I reached out to a couple of other Green MPs who also said they weren't able to comment on this. Can you tell me why Green has abstained from commenting on Manus Island?
Just because first of all, for me, I've only literally just made it back yesterday and, haven't fully had time to get the latest developments. But actually, there is a pretty strong diplomatic effort that's been led by the Prime Minister's office, and so it's more appropriate that Prime Minister would be leading commentary on it.
But that hasn't stopped you guys from commenting on it before, and part of what you guys have quite often said to me is that one of the main benefits of being in a supply and confidence agreement is that you can criticise Labour Party and stand outside of that.
Yeah, and we have over the course of the last few weeks. I guess we're just aware that the government is making a pretty concerted diplomatic effort at the moment, and we want to make sure that that has every opportunity to succeed.
So you don't think the Green Party can contribute to that?
Well, the diplomatic effort is being led by the Prime Minister, and so it is appropriate that she's the one that comments on the nature of that.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for your time, James. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
You too.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.